Welcome, horse lovers. This is the Heart Horse Podcast.
Coming to you from the Heart Horse headquarters in Los Angeles, California, with your hosts, Charlotte and Tista.
On today's episode, we are talking about something very exciting, which is Charlotte is getting a horse.
Yes, my very own Heart Horse. I'm so excited.
You're getting a horse tomorrow. Where do we start?
I know. Oh my gosh. There's just so much welling up inside me in this moment that it's just hours away.
Really? Like, yeah. What time is she coming tomorrow? Do we know for sure?
She should arrive. I think it'll be between 10 and 11 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
So less than 24 hours from now.
Yeah. It's really happening.
Yeah. My forever is on its way.
No, your forever friend.
Yep.
Well, where do we start with this story? It all began.
Yes. When did it begin? Well, I guess we should start by saying, maybe a little bit about what I know about her so far and, you know, a little bit about her background is that I'm adopting her from a wonderful place in Thousand Oaks, California called A Little Rescue. And our dear friend, Frida Riebel, is the head trainer and manager there.
Yeah.
And so this horse that is soon to be my horse has been there in their care for 2 years. And we met I officially met her quite a long time ago when I went to volunteer at a little rescue. Tista has volunteered there for a year.
April 2019. So it's been a year now. Although I haven't been able to go that much since COVID.
But yes, global pandemic definitely rained on that parade. But you know, not long after I met Tista, she encouraged me, so welcoming, to tell me that I should come and volunteer with you. And I remember being so excited and also kind of in disbelief because my experience with horse friends in the past hasn't always been the best. And I was like, oh, I just don't want to step on your toes and invade your space. And Tista's always just been so welcoming and encouraging, and I finally got used to it and, and didn't think it was just gonna all slip out from under me. And so I guess I met this horse just in passing, not in any real way, just by mucking the paddocks and she'd be around along with a lot of other amazing horses they have there. And to be honest, she wasn't, I hadn't had in my mind at the time that I was in a place to have my own horse. So I never went there and went home and said, oh, this has to be the horse for me, because I just wasn't even in that mindset at all. I was just so excited to be picking up their poop. And then when I really got to a place where I decided that it was my time. And I think it's important to point out that I'm, subconsciously didn't even plan on using the word deciding to, but it really does feel like it was a decision. It's not like I had some big change or I came into a bunch of money all of a sudden or anything like that, that was some catalyst to quote unquote being ready.
Right.
I just knew in my soul that it was time. Yeah. I was ready. I had the friends around me and the support I needed. Yes. And I knew that there was a wonderful place that I could bring her to, which is where Tista's horse is.
Yes.
And it was the first time I could just really see it all, you know?
Totally. Yeah, it's such an interesting question. I mean, we're talking about this with another friend who is a horse owner hopeful.
Yes.
The other day about, when do you know that you're actually ready to bring a horse into your life? And, you know, I've had people ask me that too. And I think honestly, like, none of us are ever ready and we're all ready.
Yes.
You know, it's because it's, I mean, it's interesting with the finances that that's always a thing that people go straight to. And obviously that's huge. I mean, bringing a horse into your life is a major financial commitment in ways that you don't even anticipate. And to, you know, like, what does ready look like? Maybe, you know, you have to decide for yourself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really, it's just that you're never going to be fully ready. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Even financially, even when you have a lot of resources, it's mm-hmm. just sort of like, it's, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, there's always, I mean, it's so unpredictable. It's just like anything, you know, it's sort of like, I'm not married, but I assume it might be what entering a marriage might feel like a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm pretty sure I want this. I think I know everything, but, you know, everything changes and grows and evolves, and you can only be as ready as you can. And, yeah, I think it's just getting into that place of also accepting, I know for me, the idea of, like, being deserving.
Yes. Yeah, that's such a big one. Yeah.
And the last, you know, I think the experience I had, I've had horses before who mean the world to me. And the last horse that I had, I didn't technically own. And it was a really heartbreaking experience to walk away from that horse. And I felt really guilty for walking away, even though there was nothing I could do mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah.
And even if I wanted to, there was just nothing I could do, and I couldn't bring him with me. And so for a long time, I just felt like I kind of labeled myself as someone who has let a horse down and just so didn't want to do that ever again.
Yeah. Just before we keep talking, just so everyone knows the podcast right now, we have our little office cat, Sweet Lion, in the office today, and he's walking around on the desk, so if you hear, like, noises.
Yeah, he's a loud purr, too.
He does have a very loud purr, so that would be the sweetie.
And he loves to walk across a keyboard, so hopefully he won't pause our podcast, but we'll do our best.
We're rolling with it. But anyway, yeah, that's such a, I mean, it's... Yeah, I can totally see that with you, especially since you were such a dedicated person, too, and how hard it would be to be like that. I can ensure that that's not going to happen again, or even that if, I don't know exactly how to put it, because, like, there's so much that can happen with our horses that we can't be completely certain of, and we that are out of our control, and I do understand that sometimes it happens in people's life that they, like, bring a horse into their life, and tragedy hits or their circumstance really radically changes and then they have to rehome that horse. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens. But just knowing that, like, you are going to provide the best home you possibly can, no matter what situation that you, you know, that you will have it, like, you will figure it out and be able to show up for that horse is, like, huge.
That means so much to hear from you. And you really inspired me to feel ready to see somebody else who's my contemporary and my dear friend doing it on your own. It just, you know, it had always seemed like something maybe a little bit less tangible, because when I did have horses in the past, it was when I was younger and fully supported by my parents at the time. And so I didn't know what that looked like doing it on my own. And to be honest, I was incredibly pleasantly surprised by what the finances were. I mean, it's not easy, but in comparison to what it had been coming from a much more traditional competitive background, I mean, I was shocked that you could pay less than $1,000 a month for your, like, that blew my mind that board could be less than that, because that had just never even been a thing.
Right. Yeah. It's so interesting. I mean, like, yeah, obviously all horses are expensive, but it is such a range depending on, like, what your interests are, or where you live. And there are two things I think that, like, about what you just said. Like, one, like, I didn't do it on my own, but, like, not totally. I had my support and my family a lot of the time, and either, you know, a lot often financially. My family's been, you know, I held my mom to the promise she made me when we got my horse, you know. She said, "We will never sell her if you don't want to." And I've very much held her to that promise.
That's a good one to make.
Because there have been times in my life where I've really, you know,
struggled financially, and they've helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have done it alone, and I want to, like, honor that. Like, I've worked really hard to keep her in my life. But mm-hmm. I've been super lucky to have a supportive family who's, like, had my back. And
totally.
And she's a member of our family, and they've treated her that way. So mm-hmm. I'm lucky for that. And the other thing, too, just sort of, there's actually so much. I just like, keep thinking of different things. But then financially, with the money, you know, it's not just that it's expensive. I think it's that people have a hard time letting themselves choose to have horses in their life and put that money towards that and feel good about it.
Yes, and not feel like you should just be saving all of that, or right. that it's frivolous or right. something. That was a huge point to me, was having a mentor of mine just put it in such plain words to me that this is a necessity mm-hmm. for who you are in this world mm-hmm. and for the work that you need to do and to be your best self. And while, you know, maybe someone else might consider that frivolous, there's things in their life that you are not spending money on too, you know?
Right.
There's people that say, oh, for that price you could rent a Porsche, but it's like, I don't want that, you know, and you can have that, and there's no problem with that. And I think, you know, like, what is it for than happiness?
And it's a weird way of thinking, too, to think that, like, why would someone say that even? Like, why is a better car more valuable than, like, sharing your life with an animal? Like,
yes,
why is that
so different?
And we're justified somehow. That's so odd to me, you know?
Exactly. And there's a funny link there between just, like, an antiquated way of thinking that the horse is a tool, that
right.
they're a mode of transportation.
Yeah.
You could have that, or you could have a car, or
a
fancy motorcycle.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, maybe you can, like, cry in your car when you need to, but they're not going to, like, blow warm breath on you
yeah.
and like and take a nice exhale with you
yeah.
and it's so different. So yeah, I think it's just about making that commitment and sort of standing on the edge of the ledge and saying, I'm ready to take the jump.
Yes.
And I have faith that I will figure it out.
Yeah totally. And I think it probably helped too, you are an experienced horsewoman, you have had horses in your life in the past. So I just want to say, if there's, like, anyone out there who, you know, you're thinking about bringing a horse into your life for the first time, or it's been a really, really long time, you know, there's other options too, like trying to lease a horse before you,
definitely,
you know, bring one into your life permanently, or yeah, even just volunteering at a rescue for a while so you can kind of get back into the rhythm of horse care and make sure that it does feel like the right time. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to make decisions without, like, immersing ourselves a little bit, I feel like, sometimes.
Absolutely. And,
yeah.
you know, through spending time with you and spending time at a little rescue, having that space to brush off the cobwebs of my knowledge and, you know, get back into the muscle memory of certain things
mm-hmm.
and ask questions and feel like I am well informed, I think that makes me feel so much more confident, instead of, you know, and that's just another reason why it's so great to expand your community and have friends that also are horse people, because I felt so isolated in it before, and that felt so scary to think, like, well, I know what I know, but it's been a while, and I guess I'll just have to jump into it.
Yeah, because honestly, it takes a village.
Like, yes.
It does. And having that support is huge. I mean, it's one thing to have financial support, but I really think, like, having emotional support and just, like, you know, a cheerleading squad is so important, because with our horses, they're, you know, even me, I've spent, you know, 20 years with horses learning about them, and there's still so much I don't know. And I know that I don't know. And there's things I just choose not to even, like, spend my time learning about because they're not as relevant to the moment. But then
mm-hmm.
it's really great to have other horse people around me and friends, or if, like, I'm having a problem or my horse is injured in a way that I haven't dealt with before, say,
mm-hmm.
I can come to my friends, my community, and they can either help me or they can connect me with resources that will help me. That's been really huge.
Absolutely. And there's such a difference too between the way that I had practiced horsemanship before, which was studying with one mentor under her, working for her, you know, occasionally having friends of hers who were other trainers come in and give me lessons, but it was pretty much exclusively filtered through one person's perspective. And it's been so cool to see how technology has changed what that world looks like when you're searching for help, that you can have so many different trainers and you can work with people who are across the world from you now. And it's like, it's just so, so different and so exciting. And there's so much less of a feeling of, I don't know, possessiveness of students. It sort of feels like more of a age of enlightenment in
really
a way.
Yeah, much more egalitarian.
Yes.
So I want to talk about this process since I've been in this process with you.
Oh my gosh.
From the beginning.
Have you ever?
It's been a ride. So I think, gosh, when did you first sort of make that decision where you're like, okay, it was sort of, we were like, should you just apply? Like, should you just submit this adoption application? And this was actually to a different rescue than a little rescue in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know if you were totally, like, fully, like, had decided at that point, or if it were, you were just kind of like,
I think we were just
you're
like,
being cheeky about it.
Yes, like, let's just throw a hat in the ring and, like, see.
Yeah.
You know, just to, like, you know, it was a few months before I was turning 30, and I just sort of had in my mind, like, you know, doing right by the little girl in me and saying, you know what, like, when I, like, all those years, I couldn't have imagined a time where I would be without horses.
Yeah.
And I just knew, it was like, oh my gosh, that little girl would be mind blown if she knew that I was 30 years old and didn't. And hadn't figured it out.
Yeah.
So I just, it's sort of like my own child self holding me accountable.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that probably was happening around, what do you think, February, March? It was sort of right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, I think it was like end of February we like sent out that application.
Yeah.
Yeah, started the journey.
And we started that journey, and that one didn't pan out, but it felt good just to, like, make the move.
It did. Yeah, it totally did. And it just, it's so funny, like, I'm sure lots of people have been horse shopping or experienced this, like, just, like, the up the, like, experience. Because you'll, like, find this horse and we'll be like, she's beautiful, and we have her as our, like, phone background, and
totally.
We're like emailing lots of questions, and then it just like, and then it stops panning out, and you're like, and now you have to like go back into. There's lots of like, it's like dating, or something, you know.
It is so much like that, and it's, you know, I'm glad that I am in a place where I can like fully experience those ups and downs, because I think it's important not to close ourselves off and sort of numb out and say, like, I'm not going to feel anything until I know it's right. You know, for me, it felt good just to, like, that excitement, even though there's a letdown after, gave me the inspiration that I was like, I want more of that.
Yes. It's because it is easy, like, when we're to guard against disappointment in that way. I think I did that a lot, like, especially as a young person. Like, I remember getting my first car, and my mom was like, are you even happy? Like, are you okay? Like, are you even happy? And I was just so, like, afraid to express joy because I, like, didn't want to be disappointed, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, like, I'm so glad that you've been able to, like, fully let yourself be like, I'm riding this roller coaster.
Yes, you know? Yes, and I took you right along with me.
On the ride, yes.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, definitely it's important to just, like, let yourself run with it a little bit and, you know, it's been such a different experience, and I think also for a lot of you out there who are thinking about bringing a horse into your life, I know for myself, it felt really overwhelming because it was the first time that I didn't work with this mentor of mine who every time I was ready to add another horse in my life, she would say, okay, I found these three horses, we're going to go see them, try them, and then you'll pick from that. And
yeah.
This, me as an adult on my own, it's like, the world is full of horses. Oh my gosh, like how would you possibly ever even know where to start or how to discern?
Yeah. And you sort of narrowed it down. So the beginning of this was that you really thought you wanted a Mustang.
Yes, I was really, really just like my heart was swept away by American Mustangs and still is. They're incredible, incredible beings and they inspire me and I believe really strongly about our need to protect them. And I wanted to help someone who would otherwise be in a holding facility or who knows what else. And, you know, I walked that road that I wanted to go down as about as far as I thought I could take it before I realized, you know what, like, I don't need to, that's not my important stipulation anymore. The having a breed, breed specific.
Yeah. I feel like we could talk a little bit more in depth about that process. Like, we don't, I think we
definitely
can a little bit. So, Charlotte and I were looking at different Mustang rescues, and there was one that was farther away that we reached out to, and it just, like, wasn't flowing. Like, it wasn't, communication wasn't, like, flowing, so I ended up letting that one go, and then there was another one, and we had several, like, visits out to that rescue, and it was just, you know, it's like every rescue, they have their own policies about how they like to adopt horses out and what the whole routine of that is. And it was just, it just wasn't the right fit for what you were looking for. Do you want to?
I mean, it was a really interesting little journey and it feels almost, we spent so much time in the car that I think about it almost as like a month long road trip that we took. And we were driving out into the middle of the desert on a regular basis. We saw some incredible sunsets, lots of amazing Joshua trees, and we met some really amazing horses as well. But the more we kept showing up, the more I realized that where I am at, wasn't comfortable with the process. And I understand the importance of that rescues process. And I think there's a lot of good reasons why they have the stipulations that they have in terms of having an amount of time in which you need to continually come and have sessions with their on-site trainer. And it just, for me, wasn't in alignment with the type of interactions that I enjoy having with horses. And I remember there being a day where I was in a round pen, which is also a foreign place to me, with this Mustang who I was very much adoring and set my mind on as the one, and feeling so confused. I tried to sort of say, okay, well, I'll just like deal with this 2 weeks. I'll put on my cowgirl boots and like get it done. And I just really couldn't. And as you all know, as horse people, we can't lie to our horses, and they know what's going on, no matter what boots you put on. I could feel in both of us, there was such a mirror moment where I was standing with this horse and she was standing next to me. And, you know, if anyone else had looked, you would just see a person and a horse standing calmly. But all I felt and all I felt from this horse was that both of us wanted to be anywhere but there. And that just didn't sit right with me.
And, you know, all respect, you know, rescue is really hard work and it's really necessary work. And, you know, we so appreciate all the different rescues that take that on. But it's, you know, as a person, when you're coming, when you're looking for that, like that forever heart horse and you're having that experience, like it's okay to recognize that not every single rescue is going to be the fit for you and your adoption experience. not every horse you see is gonna be the fit for you, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, and it's okay to, like, it's okay to have fun. And that was, like, such a big lesson in all of this. Like, it's okay
huge
for it to be
lesson.
Fun. And it's, like, it's weird to even say that, like, of course it should be fun.
Right.
To, like, go horse shopping and, like, get, bring a horse into your life. But I think it's, you know, especially if you're kind of more focused on adopting a horse, it
yeah.
can feel, like, kind of like a mission.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? And we just started to grow wearier and wearier.
Yeah.
And, you know, the day that I decided that that wasn't the fit anymore, we had visited a friend who has her own rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just had such a beautiful time, just spending quality time with these donkeys that she had just rescued and just giving them good scratches and laughing. And I just felt like, wow, I haven't been in this space that feels so good, and this is reminding me what I love to do with horses and how I love to be with them. And I could not bring myself to have a different experience later that very same day. And I had gotten some advice from a friend earlier because I had been tossing around this decision in my mind, and again, not wanting to yet again, like, quote unquote, let another horse down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really, in the end, had to wrap my mind around and realize that, you know, that horse has zero expectations of me. As far
right.
as she was concerned, I was, could have been another volunteer there at the rescue.
Right.
And, you know, she wasn't coming from a feedlot or a terrible situation. She was well fed. She lived outside with a herd. She had shelter and water and all the food she needed.
Yeah.
So to walk away was in no way putting that horse in a bad situation.
Absolutely.
And so my friend earlier that day had told me that something that she does when she wants to make a difficult decision is ask herself what feels like freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling you that, and you asked it back to me and said, what feels like freedom right now? And I said, turning the car around.
So we did.
So we did.
And we came home, we got some wine.
Yep, we got a bottle of wine, and we just, like, and I never regretted it.
No.
I yeah. never for one second wished that I had kept going.
Yeah.
And that was an amazing lesson to have learned from that experience. And then that gave me the most beautiful jumping off point to finding my heart horse. And we, I guess, how did we? I guess I talked about it on one of our horse girl hangs a little bit.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, and Frida was like, why didn't you call
yeah,
me?
And then Frida was like, I can't believe you didn't reach out to me already. And, you know, I sort of was like, I can't believe I didn't either. What I, you know, I really do think that there are experiences that we need to have, and those ones were necessary for me, just a part of gaining the confidence of being able to pick the one.
Yeah. And I think it was, the Mustang thing was important, and it was,
yeah,
it was important. And it, you know, and if it was still the case that that was really a very, very important thing, like the highest thing on your list.
Yes.
Then we would have kept pursuing that, but it turned out it really wasn't, you know, it
mm-hmm.
yeah, you needed to, like, honor yourself, the other things on your list a little bit more.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other things on my list, and one of the things that was the most important that I think was one of the hardest things to find was, a horse that I could know who they were when I was meeting them.
Yes.
And that is a difficult thing in any horse search, right? And
yeah.
So being able to go to a place like a little rescue where their number one philosophy is supporting the horse in being exactly who they are, I knew that any horse that I met there, I could really trust the connection and the experience for what it was. You know, I knew it wasn't going to just be a one-time thing and then be totally different once she comes home.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, having volunteered there for a year, I'm so impressed with the way that they run their rescue, and they're so special. And Frida, who's a trainer there, is such a special person, too. So I'm super glad your horse is coming from them. So, okay, so we go to a little rescue to see the horses, and we had, like, a couple that we thought would be a good fit for you. I mean, I obviously know them pretty well since I've spent a lot of time with them over the past year.
Yes.
And... so we went and we went out to the herd with the thing too, you also really knew you wanted a mare. That was really clear.
Yes.
Part of that was like sort of functional.
Yes. Very functional so that, Tista and I could have our horses be pasture mates.
Yes. But also just, we're both like big lovers of mares, you know, I mean, we love all horses, but
yes,
we just really love, we just like a mare.
And you know, what's funny is that I've always, all my other horses have been geldings.
Yeah.
So it's my time.
It's time for a lady love.
Yes.
So we went into the pasture and Charlotte just got to spend some time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was such a treat and such a vastly different experience than all the other ones I had been having that they, you know, I was given the space to just walk out into a herd of horses and, you know, it was kind of, again, like, thinking about these moments that really connect to the child within me, that was really similar to my first experience getting my first pony is there was just sort of this like middle of nowhere place on Long Island where they had a bunch of ponies that I don't even know what they did with them, maybe pony rides or something. But my mom found out about it and it was just a huge, in my child mind, it's like I didn't see the fence lines. It feels like the biggest field ever, full of ponies of every color.
Aww, and dreamland.
Yes, it really was. And I got to just be like, that's my pony. And it felt like that all over again. I could really just go out and have all of these horses and just feel into the connection that I was having and looking for who I could be the best person for too.
Yeah.
And there was one that really, really just felt like a magnet.
Yes.
And it's funny because I had met her before and it was like just having that lens of being in the right space to really see her.
Mm-hmm. She's my favorite horse at a little rescue. So her name right now is Shakira. We're not gonna share her name.
Yeah.
That we chose for her today. Charlotte's chosen for her today because to be announced. But I guess, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We can save it.
We can save it.
We can draw it out.
So this Shakira, this beautiful, beautiful mare, she's been my favorite horse at a little rescue. She's definitely the one I would have chosen for myself if I was in the space of adopting another horse. But it makes me so happy that you guys connected and I really, like, you're so beautiful together.
Yeah, that's so nice. It was such a cool experience to, you know, again, we got to go play in a round pen, but it was totally different on every front. I mean, it wasn't the 6-foot solid wall. It's just a pipe corral in some sand. And, you know, it's not used, we didn't use it the way it's traditionally used. It was more just to have a space where I could where we could be without the rest of the herd and be able to let her totally offline and then just play together.
Yeah, it was so sweet to see.
Yeah, it was like everything I'd ever dreamed of, and she's just so creative and funny and smart and gorgeous on top of everything.
Yeah, she is.
And I just felt happy every single second I was in there. And then when I went back to visit her again, we went back in that round pen and played some more. And Frida was there. And we were just chatting. And I was playing with Shakira. And then at the end, Frida said to me, "How much time do you think you've been in there?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know, like 20 minutes. And she said, "You've been in there for over an hour." And that was just like everything, right?
Yeah.
When you just lose yourself in joy.
Yeah, completely. And we actually didn't even see another horse after Shakira.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so clear, like, that no, it's her, for sure.
Yes, I think it's important, you know, everybody's journey is different, but my advice from my personal experience is look at a lot of horses.
Yeah.
You know, look, go see them in real life, because for me, a lot of these horses that I fell in love with by seeing pictures and reading their stories,
mm-hmm.
you really have to feel it with them in front of you.
Yes.
And you never know what it's really like. And you never know who's the unexpected one. Maybe you go to see one horse and then there's just one in the pasture over that wasn't advertised,
right.
that you didn't know about. And I think just follow those leads. You never know what way it's going to shake out.
Totally. Totally. And then the flip side of that is that you got to call it at some point.
Yes. And at a certain point, you could look forever. You could look
you
forever.
Really
there's
could,
so many.
There's so many wonderful horses.
There's amazing horses. And they are all amazing. Every
yeah.
horse can be a heart horse. And I think there is a responsibility there on our end to know what we're capable of providing.
Yeah, completely.
And what we're capable of showing up for in this moment, and thinking about what those baseline needs that you have. Like,
right.
do you want to be able to lead your horse on a halter, or do you want to start from nothing?
Completely. Yeah, and, you know, both Charlotte and I are huge advocates. Oh, sweetie! He's protesting. We're both huge advocates of rescue, but we also understand that, like, sometimes rescue isn't the best option, you know, or rescuing directly from an established rescue is not the best option for
mm-hmm.
you. I personally believe there's lots of different ways to rescue a horse. Even
yes.
sometimes even straight out buying a horse can still be like rescuing a horse.
Absolutely.
But I do also, you know, acknowledge that sometimes it's, like you said, you know, like, you have to, I think you can start off on the best foot with the horse if you acknowledge, like, really where you're at and where you're coming from and what your needs are, and finding the best fit for that. And sometimes that means outright buying a horse, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not, like, totally not opposed to that. I just, because I think, you know, when we really are very careful about the kind of the horse that we bring into our lives, then we can have that horse in our lives, you know?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, yeah. And I mean, I definitely was trolling Craigslist.
Yeah.
I looked at dreamhorse.com. Like, I did all of that too. We're, you know, adoption forward,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, it's a lifelong, hopefully,
yeah.
Friendship. And as far as the horses are concerned, you know, the ones that you're buying they're just as happy to be with a good home.
They don't know that, yeah, they came with a certain price tag, whereas another horse didn't. It's just, yeah, they're just coming in and out of homes, and that's,
yes,
you know, so yeah, yes, good point. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
totally. But yeah, we really do support rescue, because there's just so many wonderful horses, so many, and they just get looked over because there's a bad label sometimes associated with rescue horses.
Totally. I mean, I had never even... Now I know so many people with rescued horses who are absolutely incredible horses.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say in my, you know, quote unquote past horse life, I never knew anybody with a rescued horse
right.
at all. It wasn't even a consideration.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, you know, all of there'd be the one in a million stories
mm-hmm.
of, you know, someone who found a horse on their way to slaughter and they became a Grand Prix horse or
yeah.
something, but like, it's almost like a myth.
Yeah,
and
it's the exception, not the rule.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, realizing that the horses, there's no difference for them. It's that side of it is all human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. Yeah.
And even this horse too, like, she, you know, had originally been somebody's personal horse that she had purchased.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And, you know, working with a little rescue, I feel like we really, you know, owe them a shout out because they're just so wonderful. The whole process has been so wonderful for you.
Oh my gosh. I can't even tell you. It is like worlds away in every way from the other. And Yeah, I think you just find the fit that's for you, and I'm all for, a little putting in the elbow grease and doing work. But I also have to say this experience has really affirmed that sometimes it should be easy.
Yeah, yeah. It also,
sometimes the right thing is easy.
Exactly, just because having horses in our lives can be such a struggle and hard and this hard work doesn't mean it always has to be.
Yes.
That it or else none of us would still be in it. If there was no, joyful part, rewarding part, easy
yes.
part that we couldn't hang. So it's good to acknowledge and celebrate when that is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And point to why, because that's part of it too, is being why was this such a better experience, and being able to point out certain things and be that's what we need to foster more
yes.
in the community and, in these different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree.
There was so much. Yeah, A Little Rescue, I just can't say enough about the wonderful care that they take of their horses, the wonderful training that goes on, the play that
mm-hmm.
happens there, and the way the horses are allowed to live in a species appropriate way.
Absolutely. Yeah, and in our subscription, and at the time of this podcast, we haven't set out our first boxes yet, but it's coming up real, real soon. So there's still time to subscribe. But in our monthly mailer that comes to your doorstep, we have a zine. And a zine is a mini magazine, basically. And each month we're featuring an adoptable horse.
Yes.
So if you want to learn more about, adoption or adoptable horses, and just get to kind of enjoy looking at some photos and reading a little story about adoptable horse, that will be in our zine every month.
Yeah, I think we were really inspired by this process and realizing how daunting it can be and how hard it can be to discern the right resources to get into. And we want to be able to use all those hours of time and research that we put in for something good and maybe help somebody else out who is in the position that I'm in. Or how was in.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think by the time this podcast, when we publish it, she'll probably already be home.
She'll probably already be home.
Which is crazy.
She'll be still probably in quarantine for a little bit. So she won't be in her herd yet. So we'll have fun updates as that goes on. But oh my gosh, I just am will I even sleep tonight? I don't know.
The best Christmas ever.
Yeah, I'll probably wake up at 3 in the morning.
It's best not July, because we're Christmas in July.
Yes, I know. Well, we've been waiting long enough, so.
Seriously. Oh, so excited.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to follow along with Charlotte and her new Heart Horses journey, you can through Heart Horse Box on Instagram, and also Charlotte's Instagram, which is Charlotte Chandler. And then, of course, always, if you want more information about the Heart Horse subscription, which is a monthly box and also an active online community, you just go to hearthorsebox.com and you sign right on up, and you get to interact with us and get all our, get in our herd.
Yeah, get in the herd. We can't wait to share it with you. We can't wait to learn from you. I can't wait to hear everybody, pick everyone's brain about how they ended up with their heart horse.
Oh, yeah. I love a good origin story.
Yes, yes. So I'm glad that you all listened to a bit of mine, and I can't wait to share it as it unfolds and blooms and all the ups and downs of what will be. I'm just really excited for all of it.
So excited. So excited. All right, everybody.
All right. Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.